1 Corinthians 7, we will focus immediately on one or two verses in answer to a question. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 13. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, now are they holy. Now, we're going to take the Bible for what it says, and we're going to take some scriptures that are clear teachings and look at this from a Bible standpoint from what Paul was saying. Now, understand when he says the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, that there's a few statements in your Bible that help us to understand as Gentiles some things that we would probably more easily understand if we had been brought up in the Bible worship of the Old Testament, of what a true Bible-believing Jew did. And so much of the New Testament teaching and preaching is built upon that foundation of the prophets, okay? Built upon the foundation of the Old Testament. That's why you have so much incredibly good stuff for the New Testament Christian in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is not about the second advent down the road only. It's primarily to us. And it really helps a Jew who becomes a Christian to think like a Christian. And it's a crazy thing that people want to always go backwards and go backwards and go backwards, and they always want to become a completed Jew and all this. And God said, no, you're in the church age now. You need to become a believer, a Christian. In Hebrews chapter 13, he makes a statement. You know Paul wrote it. Your Bible says he wrote it. Paul makes a statement. Marriage, chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now there's a sense in which the physical relations between a man and a woman of themselves are not clean. They're not sanctified. They are driven by a human, almost an animalistic type lust. Okay? It's a lust for the most part. What God teaches us is that since man has fallen way back 6,000 years ago, they left the garden. Since man has fallen, God takes this thing of relations between a man and a woman and he sanctifies it if it's between two consenting people and they've vowed to each other. Marriage is honorable at all and the bed undefiled. So notice he says marriage. Now the world has taken the word gender and turned it and used the word sex for it. Instead of what is your gender, male or female, they say what is your sex. And they're using that word because, of course, we know that there's a lot of words in English that end in X that are bad words. And we know that X marks the spot. So we know that the old devil is always trying to mess with this. Now if you bring that into 1 Corinthians 7 verse 14, where he says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. He's speaking of the relationship in terms of how God looks at it and how we can look at it. So sanctified is like set aside. Sanctified is somebody who has an advantage. Sanctified is almost like a hedge at times. There is a sense in which a man, a husband, who has a believing, practicing wife, and I'm talking about a real Christian wife, okay, he has an advantage. He is sanctified. He has an advantage. You say, what do you mean by sanctified? Okay, let's take something as simple as eating. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So it's just food, and you just eat it. And I would say it's more easily believed that a good, healthy food meal is easily sanctified than it is eaten at one of these fast food restaurants. Okay. However, I've had to eat places in the bush, jungle, and swamps that you definitely wanted God to sanctify it, but you wanted to sanctify it to your body also. It says every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. So we should give thanks for our food, and we should ask God to touch it. It's sanctified. It's just food. Okay? And so the picture is of sanctified is something that's set apart, something that has an advantage. That would be one way of picturing what that means by sanctified. It's something that has an advantage, something that has a blessing upon it. For example, 2 Timothy 2:21 says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work." So when he purges himself from the things he's talking about in 2 Timothy in the context, he becomes sanctified and meet for the master's use. So if you take your Bible and let Scripture define Scripture, this thing becomes pretty clear. Now he says they're sanctified by each other. The unbelieving is sanctified by the believing, where it's the husband who has a believing wife or the wife who has a believing husband. And then he goes on to say, "Else were your children unclean, but now they're holy." Now, in your Bible, if you go and run some references, you understand that unclean is not lost or saved. Unclean has to do with something that is acceptable, something that can be approached. In the New Testament church in the first century, they were far more aware of, and they were far more conscious of how they dealt with their congregations. Now, they were not legalistic, as in trying to make somebody earn their way to heaven and stuff. They were not like a lot of these fundamentalists with their standards. But I'll tell you what they were far more aware of the condition of a person and what they did about having them into fellowship. All right, so he says, "Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy." Holy is to be like hallowed and consecrated, set apart, something that's good. And so Titus 1, verse 15 says, "Unto the pure, all things are pure." And so Paul is dealing with them on a practical level on how to view things. He does this about food offered unto idols in another place in 1 Corinthians. He said in Titus 1:15, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." So let's take something like relations between a man and woman. The unbelieving husband or the unbelieving wife, they view it as just physical relations, etc., in most cases. But God is teaching the man who's saved or the woman who's saved and has an unbelieving partner that they do not have to feel like they're engaging in unclean acts or unclean, unsanctified relations or sex. Because God looks on it and says, you're believing, and for your sake, it's honorable and all and undefiled, Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Now, there's a lot in this, you see, in this question. And so the picture is clean because one party is a believer. You could say the children are to be considered different than they would if two parents are lost, and it's just like a heathen relationship in the Old Testament or the New Testament. So the picture is the advantage. Best I can tell, that's what he's talking about. Now, are they holy? In other words, they've got a chance. They've got an hedge. I think we all know, if we're honest about it, and we're not talking about behavioral psychology here. We're not talking about humanistic behavioral psychology. We're talking about the fact that in God's realm, people have an edge who have at least one believing parent. And a person has an edge who has at least a believing spouse. And so the picture is he's dealing with the fact that some maybe came to Christ, got saved. Now there's one saved, one lost. Maybe some made a mistake and married an unsaved person or unbelieving. The picture of unbelieving here indicates what we call lost or saved. I would say that there's also the sense of someone who's in a state of unbelief. You would almost say they'd gone back. But he doesn't give unbelieving in itself as grounds for leaving. And so in this passage, he's saying to them, in your conscience, wife, your relations with this unsaved, unbelieving husband who may not at all treat these relations as holy or sanctified, you can consider them holy and sanctified, and you're not defiling yourself, because he goes ahead and tells them in the passage that they're not to keep themselves from each other. And he says in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 7, defraud ye not one another, except to be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. He says you need to have these relationships because it's better to marry. He says in chapter 7 there, verse 9, better to marry than to burn, better than have this desire. So you understand God can take an everyday thing like eating your food and sanctify it. He can take an everyday thing like the conjugal relationship between a man and woman is sanctified, and then these children have an advantage, and they're not unclean. They're not just born out in the world. They're just not born almost as if you'd say out of wedlock type thing. These children have an advantage because they have a believing parent. Now that's, listen, if for someone listen to my voice or you know somebody who has children and they're on their own, maybe a single parent like they say nowadays, or they've gotten themselves into a situation where they're a believer and they've got an unbelieving husband or unbelieving wife, you're supposed to take heart from this passage. And you're to take heart from this passage and look at it and realize that God has told you that this thing can be special and it can be a sanctified, you might say, and it can be holy, and those children have an advantage. And so as believers, if we expand what the Bible teaches us by its own vocabulary, by your King James Bible, then this thing becomes a really special thing. Okay? All right. Father, pray you use this now, and Lord, help somebody with it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.